This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back to the second hour of Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, live at the Beacon Building. You are listening to 1077 or WTPLFM.com, streaming all around the World Wide Web. And that was a great segment. I love those, segments with Rocco. I learn.
And I'm not one that's paid really close attention to dieting and all that stuff, which is not what you're doing, but the concept of losing weight or being healthier. Because I've been fortunate genetically, I'm just a thin person to begin with. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't work at being better. So I am kind of listening to see what sense he makes. And darn it, he really, between the physical part as if he were a doctor and the mental part as if he were a shrink, it totally makes sense.
It does.
And clearly you've bought into it. And after 13 weeks, now it's very visible. And so that has to feed back into how you're feeling about it.
Oh, yeah. And Daryl's like, you see my curves. And
I'm like, yeah. Ooh. Yeah. What have you done with Carol? Huh?
I know.
Very nice. Yeah. Hey, we should mention we've got some really terrific sponsors we'd like to thank, including New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com, and Casey's Rib Shack, famous Hickory Smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue on 2nd Street in Manchester, online at ribshack.net. And I have to correct myself. The new Peter St. James show, it starts at 9, mid-morning meltdown. But the real key word there is meltdown. I love that for a radio title, mid-morning meltdown, starting today on The Pulse and every day.
And, we'll have to talk
with
to
Jack
Peter.
Heath, by the way, Jack, the reason that changed is Jack Heath
has
rejoined The Pulse
after
being here for a long time. So he is on beginning at 6. And then Peter St. James and Food for Thought and then Kale and Company. Pretty darn good lineup, I'd say.
The only live and local all day radio station. So it's pretty cool. Very, very cool.
Very nice.
Yeah. And let's remind listeners also that our summer series will be starting June 12th. Every Friday, we'll be broadcasting live outside of the Beacon Building. So every Friday, we need to request beautiful weather.
And can we get live music? I mean, when you do something like that to make it special, maybe Rocco can bring his guitar or Kevin Cornish,
so
our good buddy from Casey's Rib Shack. We know a lot of people who play. Elliot, your nephew, we can get him a little portable keyboard and just to add a little something to
That's
it.
That's a good idea.
We're on the sidewalk, but hey, let's make it an event.
I think that's a great idea.
We'll put you in charge of the music.
We'll have to make that happen. Rocco plays with Carlo from Puerto Vallarta.
You know what? He doesn't need Carlo. He's good by himself.
Yeah, well, they're good together, too.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Anyway. Yeah, I just want to mention who we have coming up tomorrow, because we have a full day of guests. Amy Hall with the Granite State Dairy Promotion will be here just to talk about the state of dairy in New Hampshire, be it cheese, be it milk, whatever it is. She's an interesting person. I met her a couple years ago in the Macaroni and Cheese Bake Off that I entered in 2011 and won, which was really exciting.
I went that year, too.
Oh, did you really?
I did. Oh. I did, and your macaroni and cheese was very good.
You remember it?
I do.
Really?
I do, yeah.
I took a couple years off because I just burned out on making mac and cheese. You have to make so much, and with a home kitchen, it's really tough to do.
Well, now you can go see Nalima.
Nalima, that's true. Yeah, and I'm thinking of partnering with her for my cookie business.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking this would make so much sense. I can do some of it at home, and then I can finish it off.
And the price is like crazy.
Well, it is. And what I love.
Crazy good, I'm saying, listeners.
Yeah, this is Creative Kitchens and Dairy. What I love about it is that basically she guides you into a business.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know more about making cookies than I do about being in business. So it seems like it'd be a good thing for me. But anyway, so we have Amy Hall talking dairy. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll talk to Sarah Leah Chase, who has a brand new cookbook called the New England Open House Cookbook. She's good friends with Ina Garten, the Barefoot Contessa on the Food Network.
They love Barefoot Contessa.
Her recipes are so approachable and just so relaxed the way that she and her husband cook and everything. So we'll talk to Sarah Lee Chase tomorrow. And then maybe you can tell us a little bit about what Shelley Walcott will be doing. She'll be on the phone with a contest winner and explain what her business is so people kind of, if they missed the day she was on.
Well, Shelley Walcott is the owner of Healthy Solutions Spice Blends, and you can check them out on the web also at healthysolutionsspiceblends.com. And I've been using those spice blends almost every day that
have
I cook.
You?
I do. They're very, very good.
Oh, they are. Yeah.
And what she did, she had a contest going for a recipe using her spice blends. And Lauren Weiler, I believe, I don't have it written here on my book where she's from, but I'm pretty sure it's Wisconsin. I think that it's somewhere that way. And she was the winner, and she's going to be joining us as well tomorrow with a call-in telling us about her recipe and how she won. And you know,
I love what Shelley did. She always liked the spice company that she bought and made her own, but she always thought there were things that could be better about it. So she bought the company, and she made some changes, and she's all over the place.
Yeah.
Very, very successful first-time entrepreneur.
Yep.
After being, I want to say, in high tech or something for a while.
Ah, I wasn't here that day.
Yeah,
I missed that. I was sick that day.
That's it. Yeah.
And, yeah, I would have loved to have meet her, but we'll talk to her tomorrow. So.
Well, we saved you lots of spices. As you say, they are great.
They are very,
terrific.
Very good. They really
indeed.
Are. And you know, the ones that say for fish, I'm using for chicken.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm kind of mixing them up. There's the one that really good is it's a cayenne one for tacos. And, oh, that one's really good.
Wish I'd have thought of that because we made turkey tacos last week, and I don't think we used that.
Mmm. Very good.
Turkey meat, really good for tacos if you want to lighten up the calorie count a little
meat.
Bit.
You
yeah,
know, that's something else I could, you know.
Oh yeah, turkey.
Use, you know, spice it up a
because
bit
because it absorbs, spice. You know, flavors and spices so well.
Yes.
Barb makes a really good turkey meat meatloaf.
I always make meatloaf with turkey, ground turkey,
and I'm really spoiled on beef pork blends. But you know what? It's like you know, I try to support her with her. With her efforts to eat healthier, not all the time, but it is.
It really is tasty.
I think it's more adaptable to flavors and spices than beef is. I mean,
beef
has its very distinct flavor. You don't have to do a lot to it, but turkey, man, it's like whatever you want, it'll be for you.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Listeners.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm going to get back to cheese here for a second because tomorrow we're going to talk about dairy for a while with Amy Hall. And this was in the news last week. We never had a chance to bring it up. Somebody did a story on where the holes in Swiss cheese come from. Did you hear any of that at all?
No.
Well, think about it. Why?
Well, it's true. Why are they?
Why would you have holes in Swiss cheese and not other cheese?
Mm-hmm.
This is from CNN. For more than a century, the holes in Swiss cheese, such as Emmental, have been attributed to carbon dioxide given off by bacteria. But that's not the whole story, CNN reports. And now the Swiss have determined exactly why the holes form the way they do. The culprit is hay. H-A-Y.
Really?
Yeah. In recent years, the holes in Swiss cheese, known as eyes, have gotten smaller because processing centers have gotten cleaner. Makes sense. According to the Agriscope Institute for Food Sciences, a Swiss research center, the old-fashioned barns and buckets of previous years allowed more and larger hay particles in the process, leading to bigger eyes. So there it is. It's the little specks of hay that somehow helped create the eyes or the holes in your Swiss cheese. And that's why they seem smaller now, because things are cleaner and more systematic and fewer remnants of hay are getting
sense.
In there. So I wonder.
That's pretty interesting.
I wonder if Amy knew that, and I wonder if anybody makes Swiss cheese in the state. It's not that easy, or not as easy to find cow cheese as it is to find goat cheese.
That's what you were
saying. We talked about that, and
yeah.
I want to hit her up with that tomorrow because one of the categories in the macaroni and cheese contest is locally sourced mac and cheese, which isn't as easy as it seems. A couple of years ago, I wanted to enter that category, and most of the dairies near my house were all. Pretty much goat cheese. And I don't know anything about it, and I don't know how it would be in a mac and cheese.
Right. I bet it would be good, though.
It probably would be. It probably would be. So I actually did run across a local farmer of cow cheese here a couple weeks ago at the Salem Farmers Market, and I'm definitely going to go to this guy. And it's a lot more expensive, though. That's the only thing, because with the mac and cheese contest here in New Hampshire, if you make a certain kind, you can get like up to 5 pounds of free Cabot cheese, which is considered local because some of the farms, even though it's a Vermont producer, some of the milk comes from the Granite State, so it's kind of lumped into the local category. But what I tasted, I didn't know was going to win some ribbon.
Ooh,
so
yum. I think you should experiment and try it with goat
cheese. Yeah, maybe I will. maybe is part of it. I don't know that you could do a whole mac and cheese with just goat cheese.
But use you know,
as an accent, perhaps.
Yeah, I think so.
No,
I,
you know,
that, be
that's
interesting.
Yeah, I may dabble in that a little bit.
Do so it anyway. After my 8 weeks.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know what? You can't help me, you know, evaluate this
well,
before.
Well, I can have a bite, you know. I can have a bite. I love mac and cheese.
Oh,
that's like,
I do too. And, of course, that's one of the hallmarks of the Red Arrow Diner is that is. You have a terrific mac and cheese.
We do, and it's pretty basic. It really is.
Yeah.
It's pretty basic.
You know what?
People love it.
How can people still love mac and cheese out of a box? And they do.
I know.
They do. They grew up on it, and it's a comfort food or Annie's or whatever.
Yeah.
People still love it. I did a survey one day, a year or two ago at my last station, and I was amazed. That I said, all right, mac and cheese, homemade or out of the box. And you would be surprised how many people confessed
it's crazy.
To loving it out of the box. So that's fine. I mean, it's cheap eats when you're in college.
Yeah.
Like ramen
noodles.
Ramen noodles,
yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, I'll try to remember to bring that up tomorrow, Carol.
Yeah. So what else is on tap here? Let me see. Oh, you know, my sister-in-law is going to be leaving. Oh, actually, there's big news today I forgot to tell you. Oh, my gosh. My sister-in-law came into my office this morning, and, you know, one of my nieces is in England and the other one's in Italy.
Nice.
I told you that, right?
Can we take the show
I
to
know,
one
really?
Of those places? The heck with the sidewalk on Elm Street. I want to go to Italy.
Well, my niece Elizabeth in Italy just got engaged last night.
She did?
She did. To Samuel. They've been seeing each other for a while out there. She's been in Italy for 4 years.
So is she in college or just
she
for work?
She goes
or?
To art school. She went out to be a nanny.
What a place to take art.
She is, she loves it. She just loves it out there. I'm, you know, although my brother and my sister-in-law would love to have her here. But yeah, I guess Samuel called my brother yesterday and asked for his permission.
Your brother?
Yes.
Oh.
So, yeah. So they got engaged. So that's really exciting.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And my sister-in-law, Lori, is going to be doing, she's leaving in a month. She's going to be gone for 5 weeks. She's going with Elliot and they're going and meet her two daughters, Lizzie and Amelia. And they're doing a Camino mental health walk.
I don't know what that is.
They are going to walk 500 miles.
Huh?
500 miles. El Camino de Santiago. And it's the Way of St. James. It's the name of the pilgrimage routes. And they start. Wait a minute, I'm trying to. They walk 500 miles.
But where does this happen now?
In El Camino de Santiago.
Where is that?
It is,
is that
in,
California?
No,
South
no, no,
America?
No. It's in Spain.
Okay.
It's in Spain. Yes. I have here, you know, I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see where it starts and where it ends, but it's 500 miles.
Yeah, I see over
walking
there.
For mental health.
I see the outline of Spain, and I see the northern part circled, so it looks like it would be northern Spain, probably.
Yeah, they, you know, but anyway.
Over to the Pyrenees, it looks like
it
back to the ocean.
And you can.
Well, good for them.
And she has a blog that she made up, and you can follow her because she'll
miles.
Be. I know.
How long? That's going to take months. I would think.
They're gone for 5 weeks.
Five weeks?
They'll be done, yeah.
40 miles
she
a week?
She has it all. They have
Six
it all
miles a day?
Figured
okay.
out. They have it all figured out. But if listeners want to follow her, you can go to CaminoMentalHealthWalk.com, and her blog will come up.
Nice.
And she has a whole, you know, thing on pictures of the kids and why she's doing it. Her mom suffered from mental illness,
yeah.
And she's passed away. And, so pretty cool. Very cool.
We have a lot of rain today. And so I think that people don't realize, as dry as it's been here, it's been worse in California.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, the agriculture, in fact, 60 Minutes did a piece on it last night, where the water table is so low now that there are companies that actually will go to a farm and they will pump out the water that you can't reach because you don't have the equipment. And they're going lower and lower, and at
Ooh.
Some point they're going to tap out the reserves.
Yeah.
And as you know, at least this is what they said last night on the show, that you can grow basically anything in the world in California. It just essentially has the right soil, the right climate and everything else, but not enough water. So California, in the throes of extreme drought, new state regulations require customers to request water in restaurants, and companies like Starbucks and Nestle have been taking heat for their water bottling operations inside the Golden State. So these are companies that are pulling the water out and then, you know, bottling it and probably sending it elsewhere. But the new state regulations say that you don't have to give people water unless they ask for it.
Okay.
As a way you know, because think about it. How many times do you see somebody's water glass get filled at a restaurant
and it
sits there?
Yep.
Which, you know, we take water for granted. There's no shortages here in New Hampshire that I'm aware of. But when you're out in California, people would be like a smoker in a restaurant. You're not going to drink that water.
Right.
So you realize, you know, because they're huge amount of their economy is based on agriculture. Yep. The stuff that we eat that you can't grow here, a lot of it comes from California.
Well, they can go to Texas. Texas is being flooded right now. You heard about that.
Yes.
That's
yes.
horrible.
Yeah. We need to have a little bit more balance in the world of rain. The owner of a restaurant who was interviewed about this in California believes this will cut down on wasted water from customers who don't think the water they requested, who don't drink it, I should say. He says, quote, people order water and say, fill it up and only take two sips out of it. He says, so if you put all together on a low scheme of it, we use 20, 30, 40 gallons of water every day. A lot of it going to waste.
Wow.
So,
well, it makes a difference, especially if, you know, that's happening. That's horrible.
Yeah. So if you're going to California, be advised you have to ask for water.
And, you know, when you think about it, why has that just been a custom? You know, you go to a restaurant and they bring you water.
Yeah.
You know, like you always see the hostess grab two glasses of water in your menus.
Yes.
I wonder why.
It probably goes back a long
it
time.
Must.
It seems like it's a congenial thing to welcome, you know, have to give you something to sip on before we bring you the breadsticks or the rolls or whatever. Or in some places, nacho chips. Or some restaurants, you get the edamame, the spicy edamame. Seeds.
Oh,
love those.
Little mix.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And sometimes food can lead to crime. Have you heard about the waffle scuffle?
No. The waffle scuffle?
What began as a squabble over a waffle maker turned into a massive verbal battle that led to 30 people getting kicked out of a hotel, reports MLive. According to the Mason County Sheriff's Department, and I think this is Georgia, the incident began a week ago Sunday. Been holding on to this for a week here. One woman approached, and yeah, because sometimes you go and you have these hotels where you go down and make your own waffles or whatever, or it's like a continental breakfast with some extra stuff. So anyway, one woman approached another and asked if she was in line for the waffle maker at the hotel's breakfast area. When the second woman refused to answer, the first began to make her waffle. The second woman allegedly confronted the first after this, and the two began to fight over the waffle.
Give me a break.
When officers arrived at the scene, there was a crowd of people fighting over the one waffle maker. Apparently, there was a lot of yelling and screaming, though luckily, nothing physical. The manager of the property asked all the parties involved in the waffle fight to pick up and leave. The waffle fight.
Sounds so funny.
An officer remained behind until everybody who was part of the fight had left.
Wow. Fighting over
waffles—that's
ridiculous, huh?
But you know, you get the right person in the right setting, who's hungry and maybe doesn't have all the social skills that you would hope somebody of an adult age would have. Because you know how some people are just—they feel entitled to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so you combine that with somebody who is perhaps like-minded, and you're going to have people fighting over waffles.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow.
That'll be a new pay-per-view event, by the way, Carol. You
it
heard it here first.
It probably will. Who knows? They probably will. Well, I think our next segment has arrived, and that is Susan Osborne of Bee Image Consulting. And you can check her out on the web at beeimageconsulting.com, and that's B-E. And you're listening to Food for Thought 107.7, and we're going to go on a short break. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7. The Pulse.
Food for Thought, 1:30 on The Pulse. Home of Peter St. James and the new Mid-Morning Meltdown following Jack Heath, who is back on The Pulse as of today at 6 o'clock. Our show, Food for Thought, just ahead of Ken Kale and company, is one of our sponsors, Grasshopper's Garden Supply. They're in New Boston on New River Road. And Puerto Vallarta Mexican Grill on 2nd Street, Manchester. Authentic Mexican at incredible prices.
Yum. Mm-hmm. I love Mexican. My favorite. Probably my favorite.
I would say it's my favorite ethnic food.
Yep.
I love it. Especially a good salsa that's made fresh.
Mm.
Forget the jar stuff, man. Whip it up
with
your immersion blender.
Well, Puerto Vallarta has very good salsa, and they also have very good guacamole.
Yes.
And we get it jacked up, little hot, spicy, so they put in some minced jalapenos in it.
Yes.
So good.
I made a guacamole salad last week, and the avocados are so perfect right now. Just got a little squishiness to them. And I'll tell you what, you could scoop it out so easily once you get rid of the pit.
Now, did you get them like that at the grocery store?
I did.
I'm telling you, every time I want to get avocados, they're hard as rocks.
You go now, I think this time of the year. Yeah, seriously. This is the time to get them and use them. It was delicious.
I'm telling you, that's one thing, you know, and because I love avocados.
Can you have that with your...
I can't right now, really.
Oh, okay.
But again, I mean, you know, a little bit here and there, wouldn't, you know, with my veggies or whatever. But and my quinoa and my stupid brown rice. Sorry. Okay, let's get Susan on.
Just had a little mid-afternoon meltdown.
I know. I'm getting...
You can only have so much brown rice.
Well, it's true. Yeah. And then
or chicken, right?
And chicken.
I could tell that you and Rocco are like all
I mean, look,
fed
I'm eating,
up with chicken.
Eating stinking chicken.
Oh, is that what that is?
<It's> chicken.
Antibiotic.
Antibiotic free.
Hopefully.
Of
organic.
Course.
Organic.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the only way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I get it. You know, there's a package at Market Basket, and it's where the fresh chicken is.
Yeah. Coleman?
I don't know, but they're Chirovac. They're all 4 ounces, and that's my portion is 4 ounces for dinner. So it's like perfect. I get them, I throw them in the freezer, and I just pull one, you know, every day. It's perfect. But it's all, you know, antibiotic-free and all that.
But see, the other side is I buy chicken that has extra antibiotics, which is in another section of the store. I haven't had a cold in 32 years. You know? Look how healthy I am, for God's sake,
you
know?
Oh, my gosh, you're so
funny.
I
look pretty good for a guy 34, don't I?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, who's this woman? We haven't seen her in forever.
We
Susan
haven't
Osborne,
seen her
where has
while.
She been?
I am happy to be back.
Good.
Where have I been? Oh, I've been all over. I've been a busy lady.
Well, that's a good thing.
Springtime is a busy for my kind of work, keeping everyone, you know, in check with their wardrobe and spring cleaning and, you know, all that good stuff.
Is this the busiest
Shopping,
time of the year for you?
It most definitely is. Yeah, spring.
That's
and,
good.
And fall, typically.
So, listen, we're talking with Susan Osborne of B Image Consulting. You can check her out on the web at beimageconsulting.com, and that's B-E.
Yes,
imageconsulting.com. Yes.
Thank you.
So yeah, that's great. And you know, I think of you every time I walk in my closet. I'm like, Susan would be so happy. It's like so perfect.
Well, I have to ask, we were just talking off air a couple minutes ago and you had said that you've been losing weight.
Yes.
Right? And so talk to me a little bit about your clothes and what that's been doing, what losing weight's been doing to
your
wardrobe.
Well, the clothes that when I went through my closet, I got rid of all my fat clothes, all of them.
Good for you.
So, you know, I have gone down like almost 2 sizes, but they're clothes that I had. And these are like my thin clothes, which you know what the big thing is? I bought a top the other day. I've always been in an extra large. Then recently large. A medium I bought.
Yeah,
I was like so excited. But anyway. Yeah.
And what a great way to reward yourself, right? So maybe instead of going out to dinner or having drinks or whatever, you can pop in a store and go buy something for yourself.
Macy's been my friend.
Carol.
But I know what your goal is, and I know where you were at the last weigh-in. What you're wearing today is going to go on the pile of fat clothes probably at some point. Right?
Well, yeah, I, you know, this is like a clingy. This will probably fit me for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it works.
Yeah.
It definitely works, wouldn't you say, Susan?
Oh, it works. It is working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's working
beautiful.
It today.
Beautiful. Carol has beautiful
Good job.
Clothes.
Thank you.
You need to be on TV.
Oh, please. Listen to you. Okay, what do you have
on
so
anyway,
today?
You know what? So usually I sort of give you guys a clue as to what I'm going to be talking
about. I
know. Mm-hmm. But I purposely didn't because I have an exercise for the both of you.
Fabulous.
Right. So when clients reach out to me, they are usually asking, I need your help. I need to put a style together. Like, I don't know what my style is. And so one of the ways in which I use to sort of extract out and learn about who they are as a person and what they're trying to project out into the world to demonstrate who they are is this color exercise. So do you guys have a pen and a paper?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So what I want you to do is think about your favorite color. And don't tell me what your color is yet. And while you guys are thinking, I'm going to be talking about something else. Right. So
should we write it down, though?
You're going to write down your favorite color. Okay. And then I want you to think to yourself, what is it about that color? Now, this isn't a color that you have to wear or that you think looks good on you. This is just any old color that you like to look at.
Okay.
What the color means to you. So what is it about that color that gravitates you to it or that makes you feel or like it? Okay. And what I wanted, so while they're working on that for everyone else, I just wanted to share with you some color symbols. So, you know, before we had talked about, you know, your temperature of color and what your intensity and what looks good on you from a flattering standpoint. But there's also symbolic meaning around certain colors that we wear. And so I just wanted to sort of run through them really quick. One, navy is honesty, integrity, trustworthy, hardworking, organized.
Well, I got to change my answer.
Right? No, keep all your answers. In fact, I need at least three things of the
three colors.
Not three colors, but three reasons why you like the color.
Okay.
Yeah. How right. Why it makes you feel.
All right.
So black, everyone thinks, oh, black makes me look thin. But actually, black is a very sophisticated and it's high authority. So sometimes people might think, oh, red is the authority color. But no, in fact, black is the authority color. Red is the attention-getting color. So it's assertive. It's mysterious, right? Black. White is fresh, clean, hopeful, reliable, artistic, expressive. And then you have your tans and creams and camels. Those are elegant, approachable, non-offensive, and trusting. Brown. Brown is a stable, secure color, right? It's slow to change. Charcoal gray, another neutral color, is of strong character. And it's a refined color. And then there's burgundy or maroon, one of my favorite colors. Classic, refined, elegant, formal. Teal is inventive and balancing. And then indigo, blue, is a creative, unusual, artistic, and intuitive color. So those are the color symbols. Okay, so who wants to go first?
Well, ladies first, Carol.
Okay. So, Carol, what was the color that you wrote down?
Yellow.
Okay. So tell me.
You didn't say yellow right now.
No, I didn't.
You didn't.
Interesting.
I was waiting to hear my color.
I'm so glad I didn't say yellow. Okay. So tell me, why do you like yellow? What is it about yellow that you love?
I like yellow. I think it's bright and cheery and fun.
Okay.
She's reading my script.
All right. I love it. Okay. Because you had the same thing.
Essentially, two out of the three descriptors of it.
Really?
Yellow is one of the two, yeah.
So bright, cheery, and fun. Okay. So three attributes that you drew out. Okay. So what did you have?
Well, I said bright, happy, and sunshine.
Is yours yellow too?
Well, my first choice was not yellow, but that was number two because you asked us to do two colors, did you not?
Oh. Well, I didn't do two.
What was your first color?
First was blue.
Okay, and so why do you like blue?
I love all the different shades of it, and you mentioned two subsets of it, teal and indigo.
Yes.
And another shade of blue reminds me of it's a South American butterfly, and I can't think of what it's called, but it just when I look at it, it just takes my breath away. So I just love everything about blue.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I guess I overthought it. Sorry.
So Mike, would you say that Carol is bright, cheery, and fun?
Of what I know of her, I would say yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Hello, look at the dress she
well,
has
yeah,
on.
Well, yeah, she's wearing the Miami Dolphin colors today. The orange and the teal in kind of a paisley pattern.
It's very bright, very fun, very cheery, right? Okay.
The color seems to work on her skin tone, I think. Now, I mean, you're not going to sit here
I
and say
I can wear
it
anything.
Really? Do you have a note from
your cool color blue undertone and bright colors look good on you.
Bright
on that.
Colors.
That's
yeah.
exactly what you have on. Okay. And so Mike, you wrote down blue. Mm-hmm. You said every shade of blue that you like. And blue incidentally looks awesome on you, right? Mm-hmm. You definitely have the right undertones for blue.
Okay.
So your yellow, you came up with the same thing?
Pretty much the same thing. Yeah, I do like throwing on a yellow T-shirt or yellow, you know, sweater once in a while in the colder weather. Yeah, so between those two, is there
bright,
a consistency
cheery,
or?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what we end up doing through this exercise is extracting out some attributes that help to carve out a style recipe for the person that I'm working with. So in, well, both of your case, we start out by looking at, you know, bright, cheery, fun, right, might come to mind. Playful is another, like whimsical might be good for the both of you. And so you start sort of listing out all of these words, and they end up becoming sort of your kind of branding words that you keep front of mind when you're shopping or when you're putting outfits together, so that it helps you remain authentic and consistent to who you are. Okay, so Carol, do you shop at, oh, Carol just looked at me with like the biggest bright eyes. Do you shop at Talbot's?
No.
No. Why? You're not going to find anything whimsical, fun, playful, bright. I mean, you're, you know, maybe a few things here and there, but generally speaking, no.
No.
All right. So you're not going to go there, right? So you shop at Macy's, I know. What about Chico's?
You know, I
where everybody
used
is
to,
a size zero.
I used to.
Right?
They're on to something with
they
those
are
sizes
indeed, man.
For sure.
That's brilliant marketing.
It absolutely is.
I kind of, you know, it's okay. I kind of tend to think it's more for older women.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I mean, some of
like
some things you can get, yeah, and they're funky,
mm-hmm,
you know, some.
Right.
And I only
right
like funky, really.
Right.
You know, so yes and no. I
right
haven't for a while.
Okay.
I haven't for a while.
So you shop at Macy's. Do you shop in the INC department?
I love
INC.
Okay. And
right,
I, you know, I've been hooked on Alfani, true, too.
Yeah, yeah.
They have funky things.
They do have funky in a very sophisticated
yes
way, too.
I love
Alfani
it. Love
yeah
it, love it.
Yeah.
And then there's a shop that I go to.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to the one in Goffstown called, you know, I never know how to say it, A-C-O-P-I-O, Acopia?
I've driven by it many times.
Right on the main street?
Yeah, I need to go in.
Are
okay
you kidding me?
It is. This is in the little village of
yes
of Gossip. Yes, okay.
It's the sister store of Apotheca, which is just
oh
one
I,
street.
Yeah.
Do you know Apotheca?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're
that, that's they're like related somehow or something.
Oh, all right.
Yes. Oh, all you right got to go in that store, Susan. You'll die.
Okay. Yay.
It is the coolest okay store ever. It is the wait
I
till
always
you go
wondered
in there
about it because I, you know, you drive by and you sort of you need to keep your eyes on the road, but my eyes want to dart at the windows
I'm you
and see what's going on.
Very
but
cool stuff. And
okay
the jewelry. Is these the earrings I'm wearing from that? No, these aren't. I bought a pair. Oh my gosh, they're funky, funky
right
clothes. Never heard of the styles before, the brands, never.
Right.
Very, very nice.
Well, for you, I mean, you're sort of already down the path of, you know, knowing who you are and you're shopping for the clothes that you enjoy and expressing yourself. But for some
my
women,
sister
yeah, they're, you know, they just got stuck shopping in the same place or in the same department because they don't know. They don't know about style. They don't know kind of who they are or what they're trying to express through their clothes. And so they end up wearing clothes that they actually don't love or they're not really even enjoying.
Yeah, that's my sister all the way.
But it's not a priority for everybody either, right? I mean, if you
a
don't
lot
really
of
care.
Yeah, you know, well, a lot of times it you know what? Sometimes it isn't, but it ends up catching up with them. And I think that's
okay.
That's when they probably reach out.
Hmm.
You know, it ends up catching up is because, oh, I went my whole life and now I'm 50 years old and, you know, the kids have left the home and I'm, you know, on my own here.
Right.
And
got to get on Match.com.
And, you know, they're just ready to sort of concentrate on themselves and at, you know, approaching 50, they don't want to look like an old lady. Nobody should have to. And, you know, they don't want to wear old lady clothes. So then they start thinking about, okay, well, who am I really and how can I dress differently to sort of express that and be authentic to who I am.
Susan, are these the women that typically make up your client base, or are they young professionals in the business world, or is it kind of a mix of all of that?
There is a little bit of a mix, but I would say probably about 80% is women approaching 50 or older.
Really? Mm-hmm. Now, I would have guessed, looking at you, you're very stylish, very well put together. I would think, all right, a professional woman of 30 or 35 getting a nice promotion, doesn't have a real good sense of fashion, help me out. But you're looking at the women who are getting into stage two in their lives, as you've just described them approaching 50 and don't want to be a meme.
Absolutely. Well, because, you know, their bodies are changing as they go through menopause, and they've come to recognize, you know what, it is what it is, and I just need to work with what I've got at this point in my life and be happy and, you know, let me try to figure it out. Right. But I just had a client the other day, 37 years old, highly successful in her career. And she looks like she's 24. No word of a lie. She looks 24 and she's 37. And
But is that good if you're looking for a little more credibility on the job?
It isn't good for her, actually. Yeah, that's why she reached out, is because she, you know, her appearance is really distracting from, you know, her working with some of her clients because her clients are a little bit older and she wants to, you know, make sure that her sort of outer package is in alignment with her experience.
How do you not threaten some of the people that you're working with, especially the other women?
Wow.
Is there any of that?
I don't think so. I think, like, for her, it was just more of a youthful look. She has very sort of youthful, fun, this gorgeous, gorgeous red curly hair. Amazing. And, you know, she's like,
do I cut it?
No, I mean, it's really part of who she is. And she's like, you know, do I cut this? And I said, no, absolutely not. This is you. And I could see it from a mile away. Like, you're not cutting your hair. That's where we're keeping. But we're going to look at the clothes, the style clothes that you're wearing, which were a little bit too young. So she was pulling things from, some things from Express. She was shopping in TJ Maxx and Marshalls and stuff. But her clothes were not of the greatest quality, right? They didn't fit that great. And so, you know, it left the impression that she was way more young than she...
Interesting.
So.
We need to go on a short break.
Okay.
You're listening to Food for Thought. It is Healthy Monday. We are in the studio with Susan Osborne of Be Image Consulting, and we're talking about color and clothes and style. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Healthy Monday on this rainy, dreary day. But we needed the rain, so that's okay. And we are in studio with Susan Osborne of Be Image Consulting, and we're talking fashion and style and color and having fun.
Bad hair days.
No, what are you talking about?
I love your hair
that's
today.
Very cool.
I decided to go just for the natural look today.
Is that how your hair?
Great.
Is your hair normally like that?
Normally like this, and I just, you know, let it go because it's just going to frizz out anyway, right? So.
But it looks like you did it on purpose.
It really, it looks, I love
it.
I
mean that as a compliment. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got that kind of Gloria Estefan look going on today.
You know, I've heard that before.
Oh, I'm sure you have. Yeah.
That's funny.
Can you sing
Look for Love in Euphoria? No, I was going to say, I wish I could sing like her for sure, but can't hold a note to save my life.
All right. But you know about clothes and style and fashion.
Yes.
So where did we leave off about working with clients?
Yeah. Like, you know, I think it's... you know, for people to recognize that, you know, that they don't have a fashion sense and they scope you out, like how do you get that out of them? I mean, do you find out what kind of questions would you ask me?
Well, for somebody that, you know, will reach out, usually we'll go through what's called a style assessment, and it's usually like 2.5 to 3 hours long. And it is part of it's sort of like therapy in a way, because I need to get to know who they are, because what I am not about is just bringing someone to a store and throwing clothes on them and making them over to how I think that they should be made over.
Right.
That does not serve them at all. They're not going to be able to replicate the look. They're not going to be able to learn from that. And so really it's taking out of them, like, who really learning, like, who are you? What are you about? How do you want to express yourself? And, you know, clothes are just an artful expression, really. And it doesn't need to be boring. And so I'll walk them through exercise. This exercise that we did with the color is one of them. The other one is, you know, I'll ask them to pull like three favorite things from their home, like, I don't know, a knickknack or artwork or, you know, really any object, china, doesn't matter, that they love. And we'll look at that and kind of walk through, well, tell me, like, what is it that you love about it? And through that process, they're really discovering their own attributes. I call them attributes or characteristics. Like, you came up with fun and bright and cheery. Others might be, you know, elegant, sophisticated, and ladylike. You know, those are three words that might be fitting for someone else. And so that person would shop at Talbot's, for example. But,
oh.
Is it time?
It is.
Do you believe how fast that goes?
Too fast, I say.
Right?
Too fast.
And that was a good half hour with one break.
Pretty close to that, yeah.
Crazy.
So it's through that uncovering we discover who they are, and then we start building on that so we can, okay, now I know where to shop, what kind of clothes are going to look good on you, how to put a style together. And it's all building blocks.
Very interesting. Always learning something.
We'll continue 2 weeks from today.
Yes. Okay.
We will continue. Yeah. We will continue. You are listening to Food for Thought. Susan, thank you for coming on. And up next is Kale and Company. And don't forget the Pulse now. Over 12 and a half hours of live and local. Right, Mike? Isn't it 12 and a half hours?
Proud to say we do our 15% share of that.
Kale and Company up next. We'll see everybody tomorrow.